When a holy priest goes to the confessional, the demons shout, "What do you want with us?" For the action of Christ, the words of the priest, loosen and bind the penitent's sins. Have you come to destroy us, priest? Is this not what the devil said to Jesus in today's gospel? The confessional is a place where the power of the demons is broken. The devil is disturbed because obsessive penitents will come into a tranquility. Their obsession to evil will be put to flight, and the temptations, the disordered passions, the cause of sinning eternally will be no more. That the penitential soul will reach sanctity and again be a friend of God. The church will be purified in the confessional, yet the confession room is the least used room in the church building. They are rarely open for business, for the holy business, and are more often than not, they are used as a broom or musical equipment closet. Even the modern adaptions, which we have here in America, are prone to sound defects. As the rooms are pretty, they are separated, yes, but not soundproof. Sound enters during the celebration of the Mass, a time when most suitable for a priest to hear the penitent. Because on the obligation days for Holy Mass, a one-stop hospital visit is effected. They are able to go to confession, attend Mass, fulfil their obligation, and then receive Holy Communion. What are the delusions which the devil puts into the minds of sinners? After sinning grievously, a penitent goes and receives his absolution after confessing his sins with sorrow. However, the devil attempts and tempts him again, seeing that the soul is free. Seven demons then return, and there can be a relapse. The penitent resists for a while, however, his mind wavers. He lacks resolution. Will he forfeit God's grace for this miserable pleasure? Will he sentence himself to death, to burn in hell forever? He may answer, "No, I do not want to damn myself. I will commit this sin and afterwards confess it." Behold, the devil has acted and the delusion has entered into the young man's soul. He thinks, "I will commit this mortal sin and afterwards confess it." The young man loses his soul, yet he is still alive in the body. If you had a jewel, say worth several $100,000, would you throw it into a river and say, "Later, I'll look for it"? Yet you hold in your hand the greatest jewel you'll ever own, your soul, which your friend Jesus, your Creator, purchased by his blood. Many people are prepared to sell all that they have in order to obtain that pearl, that treasure of the field. That is moving away from the occasions of sin and from the temptations which they're prone to. Yet in the case of the thrown jewel into the river, are you also prepared to cast your soul into hell in expectation that you will find your soul again, as someone who is expecting to find the jewel in the river? There is no assurance that when you sin mortally, you will receive the divine grace for true repentance. True repentance is a gift from God. What will happen to your soul should death overtake you and not allow your time to go to confession. You say that you will go to the confession in a week. You're in mortal sin. I'll go in a week. You say that you will go to confession tomorrow. You're in mortal sin. You're delaying. Yet, who promises you tomorrow? You do not know the day or the hour. St. Augustine says, God has not promised tomorrow. Perhaps he will give it, perhaps he will not. God has denied it to many others who have gone to bed in good health or have a headache and yet have found themselves dead in the morning. Again, how many have been struck dead in the act of sin and sent to hell? Therefore, this delusion of the devil, I will go to confession afterwards, has been sold to many Catholics who are now in hell. Most sinners hope to repent and go to confession, but not all know a perfect contrition, which is so difficult to obtain. Many souls are lost because they hope to confess their sin. Instead, they have not found a remedy and are damned. Now, for the second delusion. Since I have no strength to resist temptation at present, I cannot resist this temptation. And yet, St. Paul says, God is faithful and never permits us to be tempted above our strength. 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you are unable to resist your passions, how will you resist them afterwards? So when you yield to a temptation, you are in for more temptations, more sins will occur, you become weaker and the devil becomes stronger. So, if you cannot extinguish the flame of passion, how can you expect to extinguish the flame when it grows stronger? You say God will give you his mercy. But his aid is given now. So why not correspond to his grace and conquer your fallen passion? Perhaps you expect God will give you more abundant help and grace after you have multiplied your sins. If at present you wish for greater help and strength, why do you not ask them from God? Ask and it shall be given to you. John 16:24. God does not violate his promise. Have recourse to him and he will give you the strength which you require in order to resist every temptation. God does not command impossibilities, but by his commands he admonishes us to do what we can with the actual aid which he gives us. And when his aid is not sufficient to enable us to resist temptation, he exhorts us to ask for additional help, which he gives whenever we pray for it. The sin of the Fatima message that Our Lady said causes most to go to the eternal fires is the sin of impurity, the sin of the flesh. The visual screens of TV and internet are the snares of the devil. They are his nets, causing innumerable numbers of people to fall into mortal sin. There is a very simple message. The eye is quicker than the hand. Your eye sins before you can change the channel. A simple message to you. Get off the news, the bad news, the news of CNN and the other corporations. Get off the TV channels and get on to the Catholic channel, EWTN. Block all the other channels and just keep EWTN supplying your entertainment and news. EWTN will be your lifesaver channel, your fire extinguisher. Spread the word. Ave Maria.